you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are studying Philippians chapter 4, the last chapter of Philippians. We are following the writings of Paul when he's in prison in Rome. Now in chapter 2, he said to have the mind of Christ, and that was to be humble and be submissive, to partake in the humiliation of Christ. The humiliation of Christ was that he was part of the Godhead, but he came from heaven and became a human man upon this earth. So he lowered himself. He emptied himself of his glory that he had with the Father in the Godhead. He was humbled by others because of the way they treated him, and he was put to death, but he rose again. God exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at his name every knee in heaven and in earth and under the earth shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. In chapter 2, he told us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to hold forth the word of God. In chapter 3, we talked about our bookkeeping system, what type of things that we think are valuable. And we find that the Lord is what is valuable to us. He's a pearl of great price. We will sell it all to buy that pearl of great price. And we talked about a vile body that is full of corruption and that will die, and that Jesus Christ has delivered us from this vile body, even in this earth. And in the days to come and years to come, he will also give us a new body. And Paul talked about laying hold on Jesus Christ and pursuing that prize, that we are not saved by works, but we have to work at our perseverance, and we have to work at controlling our flesh, our tongue, and our motives. We have to work at those things. It doesn't come naturally to us because of the flesh that we are in, but we have to put on Christ and put off the flesh. In chapter 4, Paul says that these Philippians were his joy and was his crown to come. Paul calls these Philippians my dearly beloved and my crown. You are my crown, he tells them. I won you to the Lord. Do we have some crowns out there? We pray so. There's some people that have made heaven because of your witness to them. And there's going to be some people that you're going to touch that would have been in hell had it not been for you and your testimony. They're your crown. And someday the Lord will reveal to you what your testimony has meant to these people. Paul goes on to say that he loves them with a brotherly love. He wants to be with them, and he rejoiced and loved them, he says, because they were his joy. He not only says he loves them, but he glories in this congregation. He's kind of boasting a little bit in the Lord about this congregation. He's very proud of his witness to these people, and he's proud of these people in the Lord. He's boasting only in the Lord here. So he tells them to stand fast in the grace of the Lord. He tells them that joy is not an option for the believer, but it's pointing out that joy must be pursued. We can't be arguing with others or be in a dispute and have joy. It steals our joy from us. Now, we discussed that there was two women in the church who were in a dispute. Well, in this chapter, he mentions who they are. And Paul rebukes them by calling them by name. He tells these two women to be in the same mind. They wanted each one their own way. He wanted them to keep the peace and live in love. Apparently they just were stirring up all kinds of disruption with the body of Christ here in this congregation. And he wanted them to stop. Then he refers to this yoke fella. We don't know the person that he was talking about here when he called him a true yoke fella. He was someone that worked with Paul. It could have been Epaphroditus. But whoever was the yoke fella with the apostle was his friend, and he tells though to help the women. There were many women in this congregation who helped Paul. We have record of that in Acts. And he mentions someone named Clement. And he mentions a book of life. He says their names are written in that book of life that have helped him in the gospel. Anyone that does anything for the gospel is certainly written down in a book in heaven. You might do many things for the Lord and for the gospel's sake, but it'll all be written down in the book. Now Paul tells them to have joy again. They are to rejoice at all times and in all conditions, he says. He says, rejoice again and again. Now you know rejoicing is left up to us, isn't it? We can rejoice in the time of trouble, or we can rejoice in the time of great prosperity. So rejoicing is left up to us. It's something that we set our mind to do. We can either rejoice and be glad in the Lord, or we can get caught up in the circumstance. It is a choice. He's telling us to be moderate in all things here. Be of a good temper, an even temper. Not be rash. Gung-ho today and tomorrow, are you ready to give up? He wants us to be on a steady course with the Lord and in our work for God, and to be faithful and trustworthy. He tells them that the Lord is at hand to reward you for all the things that you do. He also says that the Lord is at hand to take vengeance on your enemies. He warns us also in this chapter about being anxious, about worrying, and he said, don't worry for nothing. Don't worry for anything. It's our duty to live without worry and care for this life. He's not saying for us to not to take care of ourselves or to take care of the duties of life, but he is telling us not to be weighted down by them so that it hinders our Christian walk. Most of our Christian walk is trusting God. There are so many areas that we don't understand why or when or how that we have to trust God for most things. We just can't see the answers to all things or what's going to happen or what lies ahead. And we must trust the Lord. And that is faith. So our walk is by faith. We accept the Lord by faith. And when we come to the end of our way and we leave this life, it is by faith and that hope that we have in Christ that makes us look forward. We can't look backward, as Paul said it last week. We're not looking backward, those things behind, but we are looking forward in trust and in faith. We trust Him with our substance, our health, and all of our family. In every area of our life, our work, we are to pray about everything, but not worry about anything. And that's part of the Lord's Prayer, which says, deliver us from evil, which I pray that a lot. Lord, deliver us from evil. When we put our trust in the Lord, we are at rest with Him. He says that the Lord will give us the answers to the prayers that we have prayed. You know why we don't give God more praise for the things He does for us in prayer? It's because we've prayed so many prayers that we don't even remember what we've prayed for. We've forgotten what we ask Him for, and when He answers, we don't give Him praise. It's a fervent prayer that the Lord answers. So we need to write out our prayers and say, Lord, I'm in need of this. The Lord is mindful of the things we need. The 10 lepers, the parable, there were 10 that were healed, but only one came back and thanked God for it. So if the Lord has answered prayers for you, we need to thank Him. The Spirit of God knows what to pray for. And if we will yield to the Spirit in our prayers, He will pray for us in our groanings, our utterances. And He said, before they plant the seed, I'll give them the harvest. And before they even utter the prayer, I will answer it. He watches over us. We're the apple of His eye, and He loves us. So He tells us then to pray always. And let our prayer be with thanksgiving, and our request be made known to God. Prayer is the offering up of our desires to God. There are all kinds of prayers. These whiny prayers that we have, where we're saying, Lord, I'm going to go under. I'm not going to make it. We're wringing our hands and walking the floor. I wonder what He thinks about those prayers. We're in desperation in some of our prayers. He wants us to know what a great and mighty God we serve and about His power. He cares what we care about. We are to pray for the will of God, for our loved ones to be spiritually strong and to make it through the day and make it through tomorrow. He tells us to worry about nothing but to pray about everything. Now that kind of sounds like contradiction. Because if you're praying about it, you might be worrying about it. But He's not telling us to pray with worry. He is telling us to pray and don't worry, but trust. Part of prayer is trusting. It's not just speaking the words and asking, but it is resolving in your heart and mind that you're trusting God for it, and therefore you no longer worry. He talks about prayer, and then He talks about peace in these scriptures. If you have your mind on the Lord, you have perfect peace. But here He is telling them that they have an indescribable peace if they don't worry. It is hard not to worry, but there are some people who just don't worry. I wish I was one of those type of people. They don't get in a hurry. And they don't get upset. They, by nature, seem to have a more peaceful spirit about them. But most of us have the kind of spirit that we are concerned about everything. And some of us are perfectionists who wants everything perfect in an imperfect world, which causes us distress. Prayer changes things. The believer who prays, life is more peaceful for them because they are trusting in a higher power than themselves to know that things will work out and will be okay. I think one of the greatest things that you can tell people who are going through troubles is to tell them it will be okay. If you speak those words, you cannot imagine the peace that comes over you when someone tells you these words. Because you see, we've been wrestling in our mind, or the enemy's been telling us things are not okay and they're going to get worse. But if someone could come along and say, things will be okay, it just puts a peace there that we need. And we can just trust in God. And you know, it is going to be okay when the Lord is involved in it. And He says in verse 7, the peace of God will come through those prayers. Whatever things are true and honest, just and pure, there's any virtue, any praise, think on those things. This is the most important scripture of this whole chapter. This verse lets us cast down imaginations and fears. In verse 1 through 9, He's going through several Christian duties. He talks about being steadfast in our Christian profession. There's nothing really worse than having someone you can't depend on. They're not faithful. They're not steadfast. If you left them with a job to do, you don't know if they're going to do it or not because they're not steadfast. They're not faithful. And they probably won't get it done. But we're to be steadfast in our work for the Lord and in our relationship with Him. And a lot want to give up before they ever get started. They tried serving the Lord, but it wasn't very profitable to them, and so they just give up. But His ways are not our ways, and He doesn't look at things the way we look at. We want some immediate results in our service for the Lord. If we don't get it, we become discouraged. But we are supposed to be doing what is at hand and not looking at the results. Our job is to do whatever we do unto the Lord, and we are to rest in that work that we've done our best, and we leave the rest up to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord must bring about the fruit that God wants. We can't possibly bring it about anyway. It's the Lord. But we get glimpses of the glory of God because we can feel His presence and we see His hand move in so many things. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through Christ means to be in Christ. All things is modified in Christ. In our reading of Paul's writings, we are seeing a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how wonderful that He is and the sacrifice that He's given for us. When we really see Jesus, we will make an about face in the way that we're going. We will follow Him. We only heard of one person who didn't follow Jesus, whom Jesus had called. But we see the 12 apostles follow Him when He called. And so I'm persuaded that if we really have a glimpse of Him, we will follow Him. These Philippians were so grateful to Paul for bringing the gospel to them that they sent him an offering. And Paul writes in Philippians 4 that he acknowledges them for the offering that they sent. He even says that they were the only ones of the churches that he had ministered to on his missionary journeys that sent him an offering during the time he was in prison. So in this chapter, Paul is sending them a thank you note for the gifts that the Philippians had sent to him. The Philippians knew what they had in Paul, that he loved God and that he gave his all for the gospel. They kept up with him and they found out that he was in prison in Rome and they sent him an offering. They didn't send just one offering, but they sent several offerings. They were continually helping Paul. He thanked them for it in this chapter, but he said he was content whether he got anything or not, but he was grateful, and I'm sure it touched his heart that he received this offering from them. So he writes how grateful that he is, and he tells them how much that he loves them. He not only tells them how much he loves them, he says he rejoices in them. Now, I'm sure that there are many ministers after they left their congregation that couldn't say that, that couldn't tell their congregation they rejoiced in them. Maybe they gave them so much trouble that they were glad to be gone. But this minister, Paul, said that he rejoiced in this congregation. So it must have been a congregation full of love and compassion for him and probably for others. You know, it's kind of like the old saying that a man will treat his wife the way he treats his mother. Well, a congregation will treat others the way they treat their pastor. If they've been mean to their pastor or they've not appreciated him, they probably don't appreciate anybody else either. We are to appreciate a good pastor, one that's dedicated his life to the gospel and to helping others. Because in this day and time, there's such burdens that are placed upon ministers today with all the major problems that people are having that they are feeling the weight of it, and many are leaving the ministry, sad to say, and many good ones have left the ministry. But if we have a good pastor, we need to tell him how much we appreciate him or her for preaching the gospel to us. He also tells these Philippians that God is going to reward them for what they did for Paul. You know, sometimes we do things that for others, and we just wonder, is God really seeing that? But most of the time when we do for others, we really don't even think about if the Lord is listening or looking. We're doing it because we see a need and we are motivated by the need. And I usually don't want to loan anybody anything, what they would call a loan, unless in my mind I'm saying I'm giving it to them. I'm not expecting it back. Because if you loan it, you may not get it back. And if you loan it with that kind of a condition, it can cause you a lot of distress if they don't pay you back. But if you give and not expecting anything in return, then the Lord can bless you. And when we give to the Lord, the devourer is rebuked. But if we don't give to the Lord, the devourer will get it anyway, right? So what's God's belongs to God. And we can either give it to Him or to the birds of prey, because it'll be devoured, the scripture says. The entire book of Philippians has been about the power of living for the Lord. And we know that that power is in the Holy Spirit, because we can feel His presence and we can see His hand move in so many things. Years ago, I wrote a poem about the moving of the Holy Spirit. In this poem, I was describing the magnificence of the Holy Spirit. And in the poem, I was painting a picture of a young lady on a hill, and she had long flowing hair, and there was a great wind that was coming against her, and she stood against the wind, and the wind was not blowing her over, but instead it was causing her to strengthen her stance. Her eyes were looking toward heaven, and she was standing against that wonderful wind that moved her hair and her clothing. And she seemed so strong with that wind. And that was the description that I had written in the poem. And I wish that I could paint that picture, because I can see it in my mind. And that's the way the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reveals heaven to us, and it makes us strong. We can feel the moving of the wind of the Holy Spirit when He moves upon us. And we know that He is there. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength that we don't have anywhere else. We feel His presence, and we know when He is with us. He has given us a joy, and there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. It's like the Lord comes up and kisses you on the cheek or gives you a big hug. And that's when we want to praise Him and tell Him how wonderful that He is. Now let's read Philippians 4 in the New Living Translation. The headings here is Paul's final thoughts, his thanks for their gifts, and his final greetings to these Philippians. Dear brothers and sisters, I long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward of my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. And now I want to plead with those two women, Euodia and Cynthia. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. And they worked with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the Book of Life. Always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do, and remember that the Lord is coming soon. And don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And tell God what you need, and thank Him for all that He has done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And keep putting into practice all you learn from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. How grateful I am, and how I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but for a while you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. And at the moment, I have all I need, more than I need. And I'm generously supplied with the gifts that you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases Him. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now glory be to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. And give my greetings to all the Christians there. The brothers who are with me here send you their greetings. And all the Christians send their greetings too, especially those who work in Caesar's palace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful for your word and to be able once again to read it. We pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts that we may be thankful for the things that you have given us. We ask, Father, that you would bless the hearers, that you would forgive our sins and draw us near to you, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today, and if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. Please.